I'm Maiken Scott, and this is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. Right now, I am at a brand new grocery store in Philadelphia, and they have their Thanksgiving displays up. Checking out the turkeys right now, they have organic turkeys, free-range turkeys, frozen turkeys in all kinds of different sizes. And Thanksgiving is the holiday that celebrates abundance, or we express our gratitude for all of the abundance in our lives. And looking at everything that's available in this store, it's almost a little bit overwhelming how much choice there is. So what we want to do on today's show is look at what it takes to create this kind of abundance. But first up, I want to talk about meat. And for that reason, I've asked our science reporter, Irina Zhurov, to join me. Hey, Irina.
Hey, Maiken.
And I want to go to the beef aisle with you.
Okay.
The steak aisle. All right, let's go. All right, so check this out. This is about like 6 feet of display here with all kinds of different steak. There is New York strip steak, flank steak, a filet mignon, big, thick, juicy marbled steaks.
It looks really good.
Looks good, right? And you just went to Russia. You went there to report on their fledgling startup beef industry. Is this what they want?
This is exactly what they want. Russia's never had a real beef industry, at least not like this. And that's what they're trying to create. They want their grocery stores to have those very beautiful displays of all that marbled beef.
But why create the whole industry? Why not just import the steaks?
So they do import. They used to import even more. Sanctions have kind of limited where that meat can come from. But the other thing that's happening there is in 2010, they passed the doctrine of food security. And what that means is Russia is trying to become self-sufficient in the food that they produce. So they don't want to import. They want to be able to produce most of the meat domestically. And so the government has really been trying to support the companies that are actually bringing in cows and developing this industry.
So in this country, the beef industry developed over the course of many decades. What does it take to just say, poof, we want to have a beef industry now?
Yeah, so I've been thinking about beef a lot, right? But I've always thought about it in these sort of big terms, like how do we treat the animals and how much land does it take and kind of the environmental toll that it takes to create a steak. But I've never thought about the day-to-day. So what do you think it takes, like the day-to-day work of producing a steak?
Well, cows, yes.
Okay, what else?
Land, water, grass, grain, fencing, I don't know.
Yeah, so you need all of those things. But the thing that I didn't think of either is the workers. You need cowboys to make a steak. And that is one thing Russia definitely did not have when they started creating this industry. And I thought actually the best way to tell the story of the fledgling beef industry in Russia is through the eyes of the cowboys. So I want to go to a rodeo.
A Russian rodeo.
That's right. I want to take you to a Russian rodeo.
All right.
I'm on a farm in Bryansk, about 300 miles southwest of Moscow. Everything on this farm looks brand new, because it is. The farm is just a year old, and the tractors, the administrative buildings, the gravel work roads, the fencing, somehow even the cows themselves, sparkle. As far as rodeos go, everything here is similar to an American rodeo, except a little different. The cowboys enter the arena to patriotic songs, just like in the U.S., but here, one song is about how America should return Alaska to Russia. Another is about Russia's untapped mightiness. Give me a horse and a sword. No swords here, but plenty of horses and tons of people who've come to watch. They've brought signs and they cheer for their teams as they struggle to rope steers in the arena. Watching the proceedings is Sean Weeks. He says in the U.S., rodeo started as friendly competition between ranches.
Well, my cowboys are better than your cowboys. My horses are better than your horses. And so it kind of was the same idea here.
Except here, one company owns all the competing farms, Muratorg. Weeks is one of a handful of American contractors currently working on Muratorg farms. He's like the most cowboy I've ever met.
I'm actually a fourth-generation cowboy. That's my family history.
As we talk, his horse chews hay nearby and he throws a rope around a dummy bull, casually practicing his lasso skills.
I grew up doing this, you know. A rope was actually my first toy.
Before he reached his teen years, he was putting in hours as a ranch hand. He's got a great big mustache and wears Western boots, a hat, and a tucked-in button-up shirt. When Muratorg hired him 2 years ago, he carried on his saddle, made by his dad, on the flight over. Muratorg started acquiring land in 2010, most of it fallow fields abandoned when the Soviet Union fell apart. Shortly after, Muratorg started populating that land with thousands of cows, flown or shipped in from places like the U.S. In the U.S., it took more than 100 years of breeding to make animals specifically for beef. Russia has only had dairy cows, which don't make good meat. By bringing in fine-tuned genetics, the Russians skipped a huge step in building up a herd.
I've never seen anything grow this fast, ever. And sometimes it kind of sets me back a little bit, like, whoa, let's slow this train down a little bit. But this is their, you know, this is their program and this is what they want, so I just try to help them the best I can.
By copying the structure of Western beef operations, Muratorg is single-handedly trying to create an American-style beef industry, but in a very condensed time period. It now has about 400,000 cows, the largest herd in the world. The company has had to build fences in a country without any, to train veterinarians, and to also import everything from horses and grass seed to tractors. But the hardest part of managing this immense operation is not the science or the planning. It's finding workers. Cowboys. And that's where Weeks comes in. His job is teaching locals to cowboy. The new hires, mostly young men from nearby villages, have no experience. Most of them have only seen cowboys in black and white movies.
The difference is they're starting out from scratch. There's only a handful of us here to try to teach all these people how to do this.
Muratorg now employs 1,000 Russian cowboys. They call them operators, though. Yep, operators. They've managed to make cowboys sound bureaucratic. Week says it's been hard translating cowboy work ethic and skills to the operators. For example, last summer, he got a call asking him to come help out in a herding emergency.
And they said, we need you to come and move these steers because we tried to move them and it was a bad deal.
So he gets there and starts rounding up the 600 steers, and everything seems to be going just fine.
And I thought, man, I just don't see what the problem is, other than maybe they got going a little fast yesterday. And
then he approaches the gate, and the animals become nervous.
All of a sudden, I hear this chi-ching, chi-ching, and I, what in the world? And I turn around trying to find this sound. Here comes two guys riding over the hill behind us on bicycles with the little handlebar bells on them. They thought they were going to help us move these steers with these bicycles.
These particular operators wouldn't ride horses, so they tried using bikes to herd the cows.
You know, I hate to admit it, but if they learned how to do things right, they could do it. But I'm not going to tell them that. I want cowboys.
If you're going to replicate the beef system, you might as well get all the parts right, he says. And what's a proper cowboy that can't show off at a rodeo? The announcer reviews scores for the teams, and Weeks looks out at his operators, steely-eyed.
They can do better than that, and they know it, and I know it too.
I go wander the grounds. I find steak cooking demonstrations, information on how the farm works, cows to pet. It's like one big advertisement for beef. In the U.S., a steak starts with a calf that spends about a year on pasture, proceeds to a feedlot, then a processing facility, then a store or restaurant. Each step is its own industry with myriad players. Because none of that has existed in Russia, Muratorg encompasses all of those sectors under one giant roof and has had to build them up along with the ranches. Hence the cooking demos. They kind of have to train steak eaters, too. Back in the arena, a team called Mlin rides out to a relatively toned-down folk song. People in the stands chant to encourage them. It takes an operator named Yevgeny Lindik several tries, but he finally ropes the steer. He looked nervous angling up to the calf, but afterwards, he says he wasn't.
The American taught us that we have to take it just like a work. So that's what I did. I just went out as if to work and did my job and left. That's all. Nothing to worry about. You just have to show them how you work in the field.
He's one of Muratorg's up-and-coming operators, young, quiet, serious. He's wearing a floral silk kerchief around his neck. The company gave the operators kerchiefs with traditional Russian designs on them for the rodeo. They're a Russian take on the silk bandanas American cowboys wear, just like the operators or the Russians take on cowboys.
Russian cowboys impatient. They got uncontrollable passion. Once a Russian cowboy gets impatient, there is nothing to stop him. That's how we are. The Russians are like, hurry, hurry, faster. I'll get him first. Come on, come on.
Lanzi gets back on his horse for the next event. I know he's not talking about Muratorg's business plan, but I can't help but draw a parallel as he talks. Hurry, hurry, faster, faster. In a kind of throwback to the Soviets' penchant for ambitious plans, Muratorg's proposal calls for doubling the number of their farms and cows. It's a big investment, and they haven't turned a profit yet. They started selling meat 2 years ago, but beef doesn't sell that well, at least in part because it's so expensive in Russia. Perhaps measuring success instead starts with a man named Sergei Shilin. He's the company's most convincing operator.
I try to approximate the American cowboy.
Shilin has on a hat given to him by an American when he caught his first steer by the hind legs. Another American gifted him the boots he's wearing for working well together. He's from a nearby village and used to work at a dairy operation, which fell apart. He says he thought he knew cows, but his first day at Muratorg as an operator was difficult.
Right away, they give me a horse. It was an American horse. I couldn't control the same way as the Russian horses. Not knowing how to work with them, I got two bulls stressed out, and we needed to transfer them section to section. The bulls came at me. It was hard.
His wife made him go back the next day, and he progressed quickly from there. After 2 years as an operator, he took a job as a trainer. Now he teaches riding and roping skills at a recently opened cowboy academy. Sounds official, right? A whole academy to train operators because they're hiring so many, so fast, and it's all just so, so new. Shilin, of course, loves it.
For me, this is becoming a lifestyle. At the current time, this cowboy work is real lifestyle. I cherish it, God willing them. My son grows up and I want him to be a Russian cowboy too. He's 4 months old right now. In the near future, I want him to be a cowboy as well.
The rodeo is winding down. In the arena, the participants receive their prizes, about $100 to buy Western wear. That might be a little hard because there's nowhere locally to buy it. And then, there's one more surprise.
There's parachutists coming down.
Parachutists, who the DJs call aerial cowboys, float down into the arena with Russian flags and Muratorg flags. The foreigners are in awe.
That was a little bit close.
That was a little close.
All this for some steaks. But of course, the steaks are so much more than that. A symbol of success, of Russia's ability to take care of its own. So how are the steaks anyway? Shilin says he doesn't know.
To tell you the truth, I haven't ever tried the steak yet. I have never tried the meat.
Why not, I ask?
To tell you the truth, I just haven't had a chance. And especially the marble steaks. For me, for now, it's too expensive. And I can afford to buy a kilo of this meat. I think in the future, I will try it with my family.
So, for now, a Russian cowboy is also one who doesn't eat steak.
Irina reported. That music is amazing. Irina reported the story with assistance from the UC Berkeley 11th Hour Food and Farming Journalism Fellowship.